Pray with me, please. Lord, might we see Satan fall like lightning? Lord, might we do the things that you did, say the things that you said? Might we have the courage and the freedom to be image bearers and kingdom bringers? Come, Holy Spirit, come now and speak. Your servants long to hear your voice. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to quote a president, the 26th president. Those of you that are really into presidents might know already. I'll give you his name at the end. He was a military man. Some of you know this quote. It's called "In the Arena." Some of you business people, some of you military people know this quote. I want everyone to hear it this morning as I talk just briefly, I hope, about freedom and courage. What does real freedom mean? We celebrate freedom this weekend, thank God. But what does it mean in Scripture to walk into a life of freedom? And what does it mean to have courage? Not false hope or false courage, but real courage that sends people to Africa like Tracy and Lisa and Hosanna last year. Here's the quote. "It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man or woman who points out how the strong person stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man or woman who's actually in the arena, or as I would say, actually engaged in the game of life. The person whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood." Think of those 72 disciples that were sent out. Their faces marred by dust and sweat and blood. Who strove valiantly. Who failed. Who came up short again and again, because there is no effort without failure or shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds. Who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions. Who spend themselves in a worthy cause. Who at their best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if they fail, at least fail while daring greatly, so that their place, hear this, so that their place shall never be with those cold, timid, and I would add, dead souls, who neither knew the real victory nor defeat of true freedom. Teddy Roosevelt. Friends, we could talk about that last line all morning. It's a sermon for another time, but our faith tells us that there is real freedom in failure, although none of us like to fail. There is real freedom in failure, but that's a sermon for another day. I think one of the things President Roosevelt was trying to do with this quote was he was trying to highlight the character or quality of courage. We all know what that character looks like. We all know it takes courage to try something new. It takes courage to risk being made a fool of or to risk failing. It takes courage to serve in law enforcement or the military. No matter what role you serve in those departments, you raise your right hand and you promise, you swear on your very life to protect and serve others in your country, in your town, and sometimes in the world. You promise to defend the freedom of others, as Ryan pointed out last week. Their freedom to life and liberty, and as most of us did this weekend, as my suntan face will show you, the pursuit of happiness. Ryan also said last week, being free to do whatever we desire, without boundaries or encumbrances, is how many of us in the 21st century understand the word freedom, but that's not the scriptural understanding. For more on what freedom is, go listen to Ryan's sermon last week if you haven't heard it. Jesus says repeatedly that real freedom and real life are found in the sacrifice of self. And he knows to do that will take real courage. It takes real courage to put ourselves aside, our time aside, our talents aside, our treasure aside, for the sake of others. That takes real courage. To be selfish, and as Rob Sturdy reminded us, to be turned inward is almost effortless in our sinful state. Jesus further says in John's gospel that to lay down our life for others is the true symbol of faith and courage. And Scripture repeatedly calls us to put God and others first. I know I just got back from mission, so I'm going to be very mission heavy this morning. To put God and others first without fear of what it may cost us and without fear of not getting enough for ourselves. Courage, in my opinion, is the primary or most important quality of faith in God. Have we ever thought of our faith that way? A step of courage or risk-taking. The Alpha Course does a great job to simply explain what faith is. The Alpha Course explains faith this way. If you've ever seen trapeze artists in a big top or in a circus, to be a trapeze artist means you swing from one swing to the next swing, and in order to get from swing A to swing B, you have to let go of swing A. And that space in the middle, where you're neither attached to swing A or swing B, that space in the middle where you're just hanging there in the air, hoping that swing B is going to be there when you turn around, that's faith. Scripture backs up this idea that it takes courage to have faith. Remember when it's Joshua's turn to lead the people of Israel? After Moses, the deliverer, Moses, the redeemer, Moses, the leader of Israel, has died. Moses dies, and there he is in his tent, and somebody knocks on the door and says, okay, you lead him now. But what happened? The Lord comes to Joshua just like he came to Moses, over and over. And friends, he'll come to us in the same way when we call him. He comes to Joshua, this humble assistant, and he speaks these words. Listen to him. Many of you know them. I bet some of you have them on a plaque somewhere in your house. God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Here are those words. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The power God gives to Joshua, the power God has given to the people of Israel, the power that God offers to each and every one of us sitting here this morning to be strong and courageous is the very power of the universe. It's the greatest promise and power of all. It's God's powerful promise to be with us. To be with us. God's not only going to show up. That was one of my most annoying things I learned in seminary. Oftentimes when young seminarians didn't know what to say when they were asked about what they were going to do when they left seminary, they would say things like, well, I'm going to go be at a church and just pray God shows up. And I'm like, oh, don't talk like that. God's already shown up. God can show up when you are present and Christ is in you. But more than just show up, you see, God promises Joshua, God promises us, he's going with us everywhere. He'll open the doors we need opened. He'll do the negotiating we need negotiated. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He will lead. He will fight their very battles. What doors do you need open today? My son in Atlanta is praying that the door of selling his house will be opened today. Many of you, along with Sue and I, are praying that the door to cancer-free life for my daughter-in-law will be opened today. What negotiating do you need done on your behalf? What person or persons are you out of relationship with that God could come and make a way? God promises to do those things if we courageously invite him into our lives. He'll be with us when we invite him. And with God on our side, we, like the Israelites, have nothing, hear me, to fear. That, friends, is complete freedom. God with us. God with the Israelites. Remember that word, Emmanuel? We hear it over and over and over again in Advent. It means those very words. God is with us. He won't leave us or forsake us. And he can and will be the reason for their confidence and our confidence and courage. You know, I had a friend in college. This may make some of you laugh because I'm 6 foot six. And so many of you might think, well, who in the world would ever pick on or give Gary a hard time? Well, I can be a little loose-lipped at times, and my words can bother people, and I can irritate others. Maybe some of you I've irritated. Anyway, I had this friend. Don't tell me if you're one of them. Let me live in the naivete that is. Everyone likes me. I had a friend in college. His name was Joe Perry. He was also 6 foot six, but he only did three things in college. I did lots. I drank coffee, met people. Joe studied. about 13 hours a day. Joe lifted weights the other 8 hours a day. And when he wasn't doing studying or lifting weights, Joe was in church. He was a Catholic, and he was at Mass. I don't know when he slept. But he was as big as I was, only bigger muscle-wise, and we were roommates. And one of my enduring images of Joe is when I was trying out for Summer All Guards, Joe actually came down to the quad at the end of the day and picked me up, and firemen carried me. Now, I'm no small guy. Firemen carried me back to the room so I could get a shower and get back down for formation so I would make the Summer All Guards. Joe was somebody you did not mess with. And everyone knew if you messed with Gary, you were going to mess with Joe. The Israelites, through Joshua, knew that if you were going to mess with them, you were messing with Yahweh. We should know beyond a shadow of a doubt, friends, that God is on our side. God is on our side. Jesus has the same message in the previous chapter of the gospel we heard. Jesus tells his disciples first, who he sends out, and then the 72 today, that he will be with them all the way. His spirit will be in them. And best news of all, he'll be the reason for their courage and risk-taking. Ryan preached last week about being freed from something to live free for something. He quoted John Calvin, one of my favorites. He quoted the Reverend Fitz Allison, all of our favorites. And both of those men have written a great deal about what real scriptural freedom means and what its source is. He also quoted Paul in Galatians, and as Ryan put it, Paul was a little ticked off that the Galatian church had forgotten that keeping the law was not going to earn them their salvation. Law keeping is no path to freedom, or as Mike Lumpkin says, doing things because we have to or we must doesn't get us into heaven. No, the law keeps us condemned. The law keeps us working and trying so hard for our salvation because it keeps us yoked to the penalty of sin. So this week on July 4th, I want us to really think about the most important celebration of all, the victory that Christ has won for all of us who believe in him. Ryan reminded us, and every time he did in his sermon, it made me wince a little bit, but I love the way he ended. He reminded us three times last week that there is a hell. Scripture and Jesus are very clear. There is a hell, but at the end of each one of those reminders, he said this, we don't have to go there. God has made a way for us to get out of jail. Accepting Jesus and receiving his spirit begins our life of becoming new creations. And Ryan also reminded us that becoming more like Jesus doesn't end until we meet Jesus face to face. So I want to give Calvin a nod once again and go quickly through the four areas of Christian freedom that he thinks each and every one of us ought to be exercising. I'll gamble or wager that many of you are already exercising two to three of these, if not all four. I'm going to click right through them. Our first real freedom or liberty begins by being free from the condemnation of the law. Show of hands, how many people know they're free from the condemnation of the law? Not bad, 80%. One person semi-enthusiastically. Okay, I'll give you. Believers are set free from the obligation to earn our salvation through obedience to the law. Jesus Christ has fulfilled it. He's provided the righteousness that we cannot provide. In our gospel today, Jesus doesn't say, go do this or else. No, Jesus invites the 72 to participate in the kingdom coming by proclaiming the good news. It's the same thing today. We all have the same opportunity today, whether it's with our families, whether it's with friends, people in Georgetown, or beyond. The invitation of the gospel is simple. Go, number one. Meet, number two. Fellowship, number three. Eat with others, number four. And if you have the opportunity, share the good news for the reason you came, Jesus. It's what we did in Kenya over and over and over again. That leads to the second aspect of freedom for Calvin. You see, knowing that God is in charge and present in our lives gives us the courage or confidence to freely and joyfully obey him. Folks, going to Kenya is no picnic. And it's not a lot of fun all the time. Although with Dr. Lee Jones, it's fun more often than you think. There's not a comfortable piece of furniture in Kenya. There's not. The 30-hour plane ride is not a blast. The food on the airplanes hasn't gotten any better. There's not a lot of running water, if any, in Kenya. A lot of the bathrooms don't have running water. You can just imagine what that smells like. It's hot, it's dusty. But I can assure you coming back on that airplane, every last one of us is sitting there with tears of gratitude in our eyes for having freely and joyfully obeyed God. It didn't matter if we won or lost in our efforts. What matters was we courageously and faithfully obeyed the call. Third, freedom in Christ means free from the bondage of human authority over conscience. I like this one. If you're an ex-Baptist, you'll like this one too. Ex-Baptist. I think if you're a Baptist once, you're a Baptist forever. But if you've been in the Baptist church, Ecclesiastes says this about our human consciousness. God says, go eat, or the preacher says, go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. In other words, with God in charge, with recognizing that he's leading, with living in the freedom of what that life looks like, we are free to enjoy dancing. We're free to enjoy food, all kinds. We're free to enjoy celebrations. We're free to live a life with God in charge. And the last one for Calvin, and the most visible, I would say, is that in Christ, we are free to serve others. And again, you don't have to go to Africa to do that. You can serve others today in your family. You can serve children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters. You can go to Friendship Place and serve this week. But freedom in Christ means a freedom to serve others, which is exactly my point from the beginning of the sermon. It takes courage to risk serving God and others, friends. But with God, it is possible. And when we exercise it, we feel totally liberated. Don't take my word for that. Come and listen to the stories of the missionaries like the ones that went to the Abacos. Come and listen to the stories of the missionaries who went to Africa about what real freedom means. Calvin's understanding of freedom is rooted in the transforming power of God's grace. In other words, he's done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. He's liberated us from the dominion of sin, and he's enabling us to live in accordance with his will and always, hear this, always for the benefit of others. Repairing this church, friends, is for our good temporarily, but it's ultimately for the good of others. It's for the good of others. Remember our collect today that Ramsey read. We pray the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we, all of us, hear this, who can do no good thing apart from God, may by God be enabled to live according to his will. So a life of freedom is a life lived according to God's will and participation in his kingdom now. It's a good thing, friends, to exercise our freedom, to live in freedom and relationships with others, which bring us each personally and corporately to a decision to follow Christ. It's why our church is experiencing renewal. It's why we do worship. It's why we do discipleship. It's why we do mission and outreach. It's why this very church exists, to tell everyone we meet in one way or another about the good news. The good news of the freedom we enjoy now and the freedom that goes with us in eternity for those that are in Christ. Amen.